Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
Now, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter on 1010XL, presented by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, here are your hosts Ryan the Hacker Green and Leon Searcy.
They give it to James Robinson. He's got it in more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown on fourth down. James Robinson broke loose for the score.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio. And with that, woo, an absolutely incredible Sunday evening here in Duval County. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics with former Jaguar Pro Bowl offensive tackle Leon Searcy and our head coach here on the fifth quarter, Dave Campo. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. The Jacksonville Jaguars, for the first time since December of 2019, go into an opposing NFL stadium. They come out with a win. They go back to California, where they won that game in December of 2019 in Oakland, this time in Los Angeles, and they absolutely beat the Los Angeles Chargers to death for 60 minutes today, 38-10. The Jaguars winners of two games in a row, and Leon Searcy, they have now outscored the Indianapolis Colts and the Los Angeles Chargers 62-10 in the last two ball games.
Yeah.
What a night to be a Jaguar fan.
Oh, absolutely. Two beatdowns in a row. Heck, I can get used to this.
Oh, man.
I can absolutely get used to this. And you know what? I think the best thing that happened this week, because everybody was talking about the notion that the Jaguars don't win on the West Coast, haven't run on the road, and Doug Peterson said, you know what? These guys wasn't here. The first thing you got to do is get into their mindset that whatever happened in the past ain't got nothing to do with what we're doing right now, this week. And I think there was a hell of a preparation by Doug Peterson on both sides of the ball to get these guys mentally prepared to go West Coast and beat down the Chargers.
Now, really quick, before we bring in the head coach, Dave Campo, the offense today, Leon, the Chargers could not stop them. It was unbelievable. Trevor Lawrence, 3 touchdowns. James Robinson, 100 yards on the ground. Zay Jones, 10 catches. When's the last time a Jaguar receiver had double-digit catches? I mean, it was almost flawless today by the offense.
Well, I mean, this is who we are now. Coach Campbell and I, we were all talking about this off the air before we got. This is who we are. We're not the big long ball type of team anymore. We get the ball out your hand, get into our playmakers' hands, and let them make plays. We're a running game. There was a lot of times where I saw that we outflanked their defense. You know, we're running misdirections. We're running counters. That fourth down and one touchdown, where we had the heavy set on the left side and we pulled our backside guard and they all went down inside and we went around the corner and scored. It was a thing of beauty. The play calling in this game by Doug Peterson and Mike Caldwell was outstanding.
Let me bring in our head coach, Dave Campo. Coach, last week you said you'd be on here with us in studio depending on the outcome of the game. You called me 3 hours before kickoff and said, I'm going to be there tonight. You had a good feeling about this game long before it even kicked off in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, first of all, thanks for calling me out on being a fair weather fan, okay? But, you know, that was a tough undertaking to go on the road with all the noise around. But I just had a feeling about this team that so what, now what? That's the slogan they're using over there. We go 24-0 with the Colts. Mm-hmm. So what? Now what? And this is a young football team. As Leon just said, a lot of those guys weren't here, you know, during that period of time. And I just felt, you know, if we could control the run and not get a bunch of sacks against us, we'd have a chance to win the football game. And that's exactly what happened.
Leon, let me ask you about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence today, 28-39. 262 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's now 6 touchdowns and only 1 interception. The desperation pick week 1, that's the only pick he's thrown the entire year. Trevor Lawrence playing his best football as a professional.
Well, you know what I think he's doing? He's controlling the pace of the offense. You know, he understands he's making his reads a lot faster. The ball is coming out of his hands a lot quicker. They're running some stuff where he rolls out. The protection in the game today was flawless. And I mean, listen, that rope that he threw when he was pressured and went outside and threw in the end zone. I mean, he still has the elite arm strength. But I'm just more impressed by Trevor and his ability to get rid of the football, find the open receivers, throw them wide open, and he's been making some excellent throws.
And you know, the other thing, Hack, is the one thing you can see improvement with him from week to week. For example, he is starting to understand that you have to step up in the pocket mm-hmm. when everything starts to close on you. And he, a couple times, stepped up in the pocket and made some throws. And that's what the good ones do. If you mm-hmm. watch Mahomes and you watch Rodgers and guys like that, the Buffalo kid.
Josh Allen. Yeah.
You know, they step up and then kind of can go sideways to get themselves in position to make a throw. And he's starting to do that. So he's improving from week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. Because last year, Coach, he wasn't doing that. Last year, he was actually stepping back.
Right,
trying throwing
to
off his
bust
back
outside.
Absolutely.
You know, and now
so that's
not.
Progress right now.
There you go.
Let me ask both of you guys this. All right, and Coach, we'll begin with you because you've done it. You were a head coach in the NFL, obviously, with the Dallas Cowboys. And I was guilty of this. The entire offseason, I'm talking about the free agents and the rookie class and Trevor coming into year two and all of this. And maybe I didn't think as much about what an actual coach could do to this roster. Doug Peterson, Press Taylor, Jim Bob Cooter, Mike McCoy, the offensive staff, they have been, dare I say, flawless in the last two games.
Yeah,
their game plans are ridiculously good.
Yeah, they're doing a great job of scheming. And the reason they can get that done, in my opinion, is they're all on the same page. You know, they're all guys that understand the hierarchy and who's going to make the final decision. They're working together. The perfect example of that coaching staff on offense was the fourth down and one. You know, they knew what defense they were going to jump in. Mm-hmm. They knew there would be five guys to the heavy side with five blockers. They pull the guard, mm-hmm. giving them the sixth blocker. And all he had to do was block one guy.
And it was Brandon Scherff, the big money free agent.
Absolutely.
He did a great job on that play.
He kicks the guy out, big hole. And I'll tell you what, James Robinson, he's faster after the Achilles than he was before he got the Achilles.
He looked like it.
He looks like
it. You don't see a lot of 50-yard runs by James Robinson.
You don't.
Leon, in fairness, and not to put words in your mouth, but I think you'll admit it, as the best right tackle that has ever played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you were fairly critical of Jawan Taylor this offseason. Mm-hmm. Again, untrained eye, media guy on the couch watching the game. I'm watching Jawan Taylor the last few weeks. Dude looks like he's playing some football, man. I mean, what are you seeing at that right tackle spot?
He's playing outstanding. I was talking to Coach about this off the air. The whole offensive line should be MVP of the game, all right? Because a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is to go on the road with the crowd noise, with the defense, with your back against the wall, with a defense that's walking 5, 6, 7, 8 man fronts. And the Chargers were bringing safeties up, linebackers up. They had the defensive tackles out wide, the defensive ends out wide. And then the offensive line has to run to the line of scrimmage with all the crowd noise, doing silent count. And they have to, within 2 to 3 seconds, point out the protections and then make adjustments on the fly. And they did it flawlessly. I looked at Trevor Lawrence, and his jersey did not get dirty the entire game. That offensive line, the way they played, the way they protected, the way they ran the ball, should absolutely, positively be MVP.
You know, Coach, not only is the offense performing very, very well, you are a defensive guy. They shut out Matt Ryan and the Colts last week. By the way, that same Colts team beat Kansas City today. Justin Herbert, hey, they played him. All right, should they have played him? Well, I'm sure that's an interesting conversation in Los Angeles right now. But Herbert was out there. Austin Eckler was out there. Mike Williams was out there. Gerald Everett was out there. They had their guys minus Keenan Allen at the skill positions. One drive, save for that one drive where they scored the touchdown, they did nothing on this Mike Caldwell defense. It's 2 weeks in a row. Jacksonville's defense sort of reminds you of what they had in 2017.
Well, I wasn't here in 2017, so what I'm seeing from them is they have guys that are – they've got them running to the football. I've had a good feeling about Mike Caldwell, as you guys know from the very beginning, because of his association with Todd Bowles, who I think defensively, you know, I was with him in Cleveland, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to scheme up fronts, you know, how to take care of certain guys, you know, and if he has any weakness at all, it would be in his pass coverage stuff. There, you know, you see a few mistakes here or there, but as far as the front seven, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get pressure on the quarterback, and I'm just really excited about both of the coaching staffs on both sides.
Leon, the free agent hall, right? And look, we've had this conversation. We'll continue to have it every week. Oh, they didn't sign any big names. They didn't go get a wide receiver one. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. What's Trent Baalke doing? 49 catches in three games between Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, and Evan Engram. 49 catches for those three guys combined. Zay Jones today, 10 for 85 and a touchdown. Christian Kirk, 6 for 72 and a touchdown. Evan Engram only had one catch. That doesn't count the two-point conversion catch. But, again, he had seven last week that led the team. Those three guys, Marvin Jones as well, gets in the end zone. A guy Trent Baalke signed last year. You want to talk about surrounding Trevor with talent, they apparently have done that.
Well, unfortunately, this is the reason why GMs and coaches try not to listen to the outside noise, try not to listen to the fan base. They're respective in their opinion, but they've got to find people in place that fits their system, what kind of scheme that they're going to run. And the Jaguars, they brought in guys who they felt the offense that Doug Peterson was going to be bringing in, they were going to be possessional guys who can run after the catch. And that's what those guys are. They're possessional guys who can run after the catch. The Christian Kirk, the Zay Jones, those type of guys. Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones doesn't have the speed, but he's a go-getter. He'll go get it. Across the middle, whatever you need to do. So that's what you got to look for. And they did an outstanding job. Now, 3-4 months ago, where free agency was going on, 5 months ago, we was like, oh, you know, Christian Kirk, he's a slot guy. He's a two. He's a three. How is he going to get any separation? How is he going to – he's not going to be a deep ball threat. He was the third best receiver when he was in, with the Cardinals. All these negative things. But the coaching staff understands what kind of offense that they're putting in place, and he's fitting in perfectly.
And, Coach, Christian Kirk, 18 grabs, 267 yards, three touchdowns in the first three games. By the way, Evan Engram did not score a touchdown. I think he caught one, though. I don't know how they overturned that. Right. 38-10. It could have been worse, actually. For Los Angeles, only the third time in the history of the Jaguars that they beat a team by 28 or more on the road. The last time it happened was in 2001. There were a lot of crazy things that happened today in Los Angeles, California. A lot of exercising the demons. Let me ask you, that bus ride to the airport to LAX right now, they're boarding that airplane. What's that scene like?
Well, you know, of course, I was asleep, whether we won or lost, as soon as the game was over, because I was so spent. I think Leon could probably answer that one a little better than I can.
There's going to be libations on the flag.
Yeah, because I've heard him. Because I've heard him say in a commercial that, you know, I like to party, and I guarantee you those guys are partying on the way home. But that, so what? Now what? Will kick in tomorrow morning after the 24-hour rule.
Oh, can you imagine? I mean, the buildup for Doug Peterson going back to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You got the 2-1 Jaguars going to the undefeated 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. That is going to be one of the marquee matchups in the National Football League in week number 4. And Leon, to that point, and look, we'll spend a lot of time talking about this, but an early quick thought from you. Phone lines are open, by the way, Jacksonville, 641-1010. We want to take calls. We're with you until 11 o'clock tonight here on the fifth quarter. The Jaguars now, for the first time for a lot of these guys in their careers, are going to start being told how good they are and how great they are. And do you have to temper expectations? Do you have to, you know, make sure you don't too high when you start hearing that?
You don't have to temper expectations because this is a young team that probably doesn't know any better. And that sometimes can be good. If you don't know any better, you go into a game, you're like, we weren't supposed to. Like the Jaguars, before the schedule came out, when you look at the schedule, the Jaguars were supposed to lose this game, right?
I would think the Jaguars were supposed to lose it 38-10.
Exactly.
Not win it 38-10.
So I'm saying, no, you don't want to temper their expectations. But what Coach was talking about last week, you have a tendency as a coaching staff when you win, you can be harder and even more critical on players when they're winning games than whether they're losing games, because now they got a taste of it. It's like chum in the water. Sharks want to feast now because all this newfound success, it feel good. Coming back to Jacksonville, fanfare is excited. So let's go get some more. Let's fill Santa's Santa's bag with some more gifts.
Yeah, the stocking. And Coach, you mentioned the so what now what mentality that Doug Peterson likes to preach. I imagine we're going to hear a lot of that this week, because Doug Peterson knows that if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar player and you've been in the league 4 years or less, you basically know nothing but losing every single Sunday. Josh Allen doesn't really know anything but loss after loss after loss, and he's one of the longest tenured guys here. Now that the first bit of success is beginning to happen, this is where Doug Peterson and that staff are going to have to earn more of that money they were given by really harping in on the so what, now what mentality.
Yeah, and there's no question what Leon just said. It's hard to – if a guy's had a bad day and you lose the game, it's a little bit hard to really get after him. But if a guy doesn't play exactly – for example, Cisco made a mistake in that game on the one – where they were playing one hole, we called it, where they ran a guy on the crossing route, and he just let him go right by him. He was supposed to have him.
Leon, you know what I love about Coach Campo? The Jaguars won 38-10, just beat the Chargers to death. Coach comes in and is like, let me tell you what happened on that coverage in the third quarter.
All coaches do that.
It was hilarious.
All coaches do that, bro.
He looked at the one bad play. Bro, like, this is what happened.
And that's
man.
What that's yes. when you get after yes. him. You yeah. know? And Cisco will learn something from that, and he'll take it. Because he's happy about the way the game went, and really probably most of his plays, you know, he was pretty darn good. So, you know, you can be really critical, as Leon said, about the little things. And you know that the little things are what win and lose most ball games. Looking around the league in the last 2 weeks, there are very few. We've had the most points wins in the last 2 weeks than most everybody else. Every other game has been 3 points, 1 point, 2 points. You know, the little things, the three or four plays during the game, if you make a mistake, that can cost you the football game.
You're not supposed to win games by, 52 points, right? A 28-point win today, a 24-point win last week. Look, we got phone lines loaded. We'll get to some calls here in the opening segment. I did want to point this out, and I want to give Rich Eisen credit for this, because Rich Eisen of the NFL Network is the one that tweeted it out. In the same stadium, last year, that James Robinson was pulled by Urban Meyer for fumbling the ball, and then Urban essentially lied, reportedly, about why James Robinson wasn't going back in the game. A year later, in the same stadium, 100 yards rushing, including a 50-yard touchdown on 4th-and-1. That's how far, Leon, the Jaguars have come since last season.
It's called karma.
Yeah.
And it's a B.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? That play might have been the most key of any of the plays, mm-hmm. because it just all of a sudden everybody's excited. Hey, we know what we can do against this team.
It's funny you mentioned that, Coach, because I'm willing to bet that might be the play of the game coming up later on here.
It might be the play
the
of the game.
Quarter. No question about that. 641-1010 is the phone number to Augusta, Georgia. Let's kick it off here on the fifth quarter. On 1010XL, let's get Sean in here on the fifth quarter. Sean, go ahead.
Fellas, it looks like a pretty good team going on right now. I will say that. That's for sure. But I will say that we've got a big test in Philly in the next week. I like the captains that are on the team, and I think as though that we're going to catch a W next week.
Sean, appreciate the call. A little Duval there from Sean. And look, what I love, the fan base, you guys deserve a night like tonight. With what this fan base has been through, I've said it many times, Leon, you've heard me say it many times, we have some of the most loyal, if not the most loyal, fans in the league. Because how many other NFL markets would have sat through what this fan base has sat through? Oh, you know, the fact that this fan base still cares after a double-digit loss season, after a double-digit loss season. So the fans tonight... Man, celebrate. You guys absolutely deserve it.
Yeah, those days are behind us, the hat. The double-digit loss, those days are behind us. If we keep playing with the same tempo and flow that we play with, you should expect bigger and better wins down the road. That's listen, that's what Doug Peterson is telling them. the fact that this team can't win on the road in the West Coast, hadn't won a game, well, 0-18 on the road, couldn't play on the West Coast, all that's behind them. They went out there and they out-executed the Chargers.
Two games in a row.
Yes.
That's a big thing itself. And those are all positive things, reinforcements for doing what's right every day in practice, meetings, film work, whatever it is. That's what you use as motivation right there.
Well, speaking of those loyal fans, we've been doing the fifth quarter for, this is our eighth year on 1010XL. I don't think this guy has ever missed a fifth quarter calling in. To Buffalo we go, our guy Junior in here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Junior, how we doing?
Good, good. Before I start, I want to prayers and thoughts to everybody in Florida, great state of Florida, because of coming. I'm praying for you guys that nobody gets hurt and less impact to the state of Florida. Just want to get that out there first.
Appreciate that, man. What'd you think of the game today?
It was awesome. It was awesome. This is what you call a good day at the office, baby. This is a good day at the office. They came out there and they showed what they're made of. That it was just amazing. I felt that threat. I haven't felt that feeling in a very long time. Being there and like, man, these guys are doing it. It was kind of tough at the beginning when they had to go for those two field goals, but they didn't give in. They kept going. That defense came to play. They had each other's back. This whole team has each other's back. This is the difference. They trust each other, and I loved it. I've been waiting for that for years now, Hacker, that this team had each other's back, and you could tell that they're having fun out there as well, and that's what matters. And I can't wait till they take that same feeling to Philly and take out the Eagles next week, and I'll be calling you next week, guys. Take care.
Junior, appreciate it. Junior's fired up. Really quick to both you guys. Leon, we'll start with you. The players that were here last year that went through that nonsense, now the times appear to be a little bit better moving forward. Well, something like that kind of bond, guys. You know, I saw Trevor and Roy Robertson-Harris, you know, sharing a moment on the sideline, a defensive tackle and the starting quarterback. Both of those guys were here for all the garbage that went on last season. Is that sort of a thing that you can kind of build off of as a team?
No. You care absolutely nothing about what happened last year and who coached here last year. Our guy is here right now. That's all we're thinking about moving forward. And I'm going to tell you the best thing that ever happened for a team, when your players hold your other players accountable in practice. I mean, coaches is going to coach. But when players lay in on other players to perform and execute at a certain level in practice, and I've been on teams like that here in Jacksonville and in Pittsburgh, you got something now. Because, I mean, the coach is going to be the due diligence, but the players now are going to keep the other players to a high standard of execution in practice because of the way that they're playing now. Once you get that in the locker room, accountability, and playing to your best level and players calling you out when you don't, that's when you know you got a team.
You know, and for all the talk about the high-profile guys, Coach Campo, the Trevor Lawrences, obviously, you know, Christian Kirks, Devin Lloyds, Trayvon Walkers, a guy like Roy Robertson-Harris, a guy like Fatakasi, Aluwakin, you know, the guys that maybe we don't talk enough about, boy, they're playing really, really well.
Yeah, I think the entire defense is playing well. I mean, there's no question about it. And again, that's the way defenses are played, is that kind of tenacity and ability to run to the ball and do those things. Our front, I'll be honest with you, I think we're going to have a big-time test with the guy up at Tennessee.
With Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any team in the league that's going to be able to run the ball on us. As long as we stay healthy, that group is that strong up front. And the guys you're talking about, the Fatakasis and the Hamiltons and you can throw Smoot in there. You could throw some guys that you don't talk a lot about.
And Smoot had a game-changing play today. He had the sack, the fumble, Aluwakin recovers the ball.
But those guys it takes an entire football team. You know, the guys that stick out, that's great. But, you know, the other guys have got to play in order to win.
That is head coach, former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, our head coach here on 1010XL, Dave Campo. He is former Jaguar Pro Bowl offensive tackle Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker, Ryan Green. You are the city of Jacksonville, and you are winners tonight. 38-10 over the Los Angeles Chargers. The Jaguars now 2-1 on the year. Still in first place all by themselves in the AFC South. And, yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'd never be able to do this. If the playoffs started today, the Jaguars would be the 2 seed in the AFC playoffs. playoff picture. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we are brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics. More of your phone calls. We'll give you an offensive player of the game. Jacksonville, we're with you till 11 o'clock. We're glad you're with us here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Presented by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Empty backfield. Trevor drops. Looking. Scrambling to the right. Still looking. Scramble. Fires to the back of the end zone. Caught in the back of the end zone. Touchdown to Zay Jones, and the Jags have extended the lead.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio, Trevor Lawrence to Zay Jones for the score. Zay Jones, 10 grabs for 85 yards. And because of that, every week we do give you an offensive player of the game. It is brought to you by our friends at Universal Roof. Michael, let's do it right now. The Universal Roof, offensive player of the game.
Universal Roofing Contracting presents the offensive player of the game. Universal Roofing Contracting. The difference is universal.
Leon, all the talk about Christian Kirk. Boy, Zay Jones, 10 grabs, 85 yards on a score. Zay Jones, this week's offensive player of the game.
I had a hell of a game. I mean, not only the touchdown in the back of the end zone, but some of those passes that he caught were critical for us getting first downs.
Yeah.
You know, the run after the catch, that's the key. I mean, he had a couple. I don't know how many it was, maybe at least two. Where, you know, little quick look out to him, and he gets about 3, 4, 5 yards, gets the first down. So, yeah, he had a hell of a game.
Coach Campo, as a defensive coordinator, how hard is it to scheme for the Jaguars when they have so many guys that can do so many different things with the crossing routes and in the flank and the screens? And, heck, you can bring in a guy like Jamal Agnew, who we never even talk about, and he just catches a 17-yard slant for a big first down. I mean, they got so many guys who can do so many things when they run those routes.
First of all, there's matchup issues. And there's matchup issues with not just one guy to where you can double it up. You know, they've got matchup issues with guys inside, especially that can run after catch, that can pick guys off because of their quickness, ability to run away from people underneath, guys that can cover them. That's a big issue. The other thing that's really interesting about this team, and Matt Hayes texted me just a minute ago, and he made a comment that I thought was really good on that text. He said, because of the gun that Trevor has, those quick passes, no one's going to be able to stop them. The quick outs for first downs, you're behind the chains, you run one, you only make 1 yard, you throw a quick. It gets you to third and four, third and three. The combination of guys that can run after catch and the gun that Trevor has and the quick release that he has, that's going to make it very difficult for a lot of people in this league.
And, Leon, we've seen that 2 weeks in a row. Last week, a 15-play drive against Indianapolis, touchdown. This week, a 14-play drive against Los Angeles, touchdown. Those got to be so deflating for the defense. And I would imagine you experienced that a lot when you 14 plays, 60 yards, 8 minutes, and you punch it in for six. That defense, that's like taking their will away from them.
Well, yeah, it does. Absolutely takes their will away, especially when you're running up and down the field and they can absolutely do nothing to stop it. But another critical thing that's going on with our offense is that we're not putting ourselves in bad situations. We only had 2 penalties for 10 yards. We're not committing to holding calls or legal procedures, putting us in second and long and third long situations where, you know, it makes it a little bit more difficult to run the kind of plays that we run. So it has got to go off to the offensive line and the offense in general is that they're not making silly mistakes that we're making last year to put themselves in bad situations.
641-1010 is the phone number. If you want to get involved in the fifth quarter, you are more than welcome to do so. He is Dave Campo. He is Leon Searcy. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. The Jaguars, a 38-10 winner over the Los Angeles Chargers. Jacksonville now 2-1 on the year. To the north side we go. Let's get Chuck in here on 1010XL. Chuck, go ahead.
Hey, happy Sunday evening victory day, guys. It was amazing. The first time in a long time, it seems like the Jaguars have chess players and not checker players. And coaching is such a huge deal because all these guys are good. And that extra amount of confidence and coaching acumen that we seem to have at this moment is amazing. It's chess versus checkers. And I thought that was going to be the case going into this game. Brandon Staley is an idiot, in my opinion. But anyway, it was chess versus checkers, guys.
Chuck, appreciate the phone call. It's an interesting analogy. Coach Campo, are you surprised Doug Peterson sat out last year? And let's be honest, it did not end well for him in Philadelphia. That will be a talking point going into Philly next week, the way it ended for Peterson up there. Sits out a year and jumps right back in, and boy, the job he's done in 3 weeks. Are you surprised he's been this successful this quick second time around?
Well, I think it's a process. And, you know, you've heard me say a number of times probably over the years of, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, this is only the third ball game, so there's going to be some bumps in the road. But the one thing about him is that I think he has a when he came in and he gave them the time off at the end of OTAs, a mini camp or whatever, you know, some people were upset, you know. But I'm going to tell you right now, the process, he felt that the process was working and guys were beginning to trust him and trust each other. And that's a bone. And you throw a bone in there, and now he's getting the most out of them in practice. I heard last week that they had a 65-play practice last week. That's a lot of plays in practice. Well, they're keeping them there to watch the tape as well. So they're putting the work in because they trust him now, and they trust the guys that can make plays on the team.
I mean, Leon, you got coached up by some greats. From your college days of Jimmy Johnson, obviously, Dennis Erickson, to the pros with Bill Cowher, Tom Coughlin. I know you don't necessarily count Brian Billick, but you technically were.
I don't.
There as well, a guy that won a Super Bowl. Your thoughts on Peterson, your assessment on Peterson and what you've seen 3 weeks in?
Well, listen, it's all about morale. Bill Cowher was the king of morale. We knew that Coach Cowher was going to get the very most out of us in practice. But he also knew how to take care of us. He would work us like dogs in practice. But he had this motto that by midseason, if we were over 500, we would take the pads off. So it was just different stuff that he would do. But he treated you like men. He wanted you to hold yourself accountable like men and be professionals about your craft. Because if you ain't gonna be here long. So I think that's what Doug is doing. I think the guys are bought into it. They don't have to be talked down like kids and kicked around and all that kind of stuff. But they have a mutual respect for Doug Peterson because how he's running the ship is showing success. And then now that they're winning, guys are going to buy into it even more what he's doing. And whatever he's selling, they're going
to
buy.
Let's go to the state of Alabama. Let's get Jonathan in here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Jonathan, go ahead.
I got one thing to say. Duval!
What a win, man. I know you're happy.
Oh, yeah. We did great with penalties, and the defense looked really good today. The only thing I would suggest is try settling for more touchdowns. Got to clean up the red zone issues. But other than that, it looked really good today.
And, Jonathan, you're kind of one of the fans I'm talking about. You call the fifth quarter every week. Loss after loss after loss. I'm happy for people like you tonight that can experience a win like this.
Absolutely. I had a great weekend, especially with Florida State winning too.
Jonathan, appreciate the phone call. What about the red zone issues? Because they did have red zone issues in the first half. How would you guys go about cleaning that up? Coach, we'll start with you.
Well, the first thing I would do is, you know, they did not run the ball inside the red zone very well today. They made some critical throws and critical catches that allowed them to get done what they got done. You have to be able to run the football inside the red zone. So they've got to work whatever the scheme is. They've got to get some yardage in there. And I was a little surprised today, if there was any negative, is that after we ran the ball as much as we tried to do, we didn't play action pass down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
particularly after the interception of Devin Lloyd, pass. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. That, and so to me, that can be improved. And I think that they'll look at it. And they're self-scouting themselves. They'll look at it. The only time I saw them really do anything unusual is when he rolled out and hit Kirk on the and that's a steal every game.
I mean, Leon, I know you want to run the ball down there as an offensive lineman.
Yeah. I mean, it's critical that you, once you get within the red zone, that you got to run the ball effectively. Because when you're passing, you understand the closer you get to the end zone, you're actually, there's another defender, which is called the out of bounds or the end zone. So that's, it plays as another defender.
Everything compresses.
Yeah. So it's pivotal that you got to have success running the ball. And that's some stuff that you got to clean up. And you got to work on in practice, because it may be that crucial moment in a game where you're going to have to run the ball in the end zone. We got away with it today because we kicked those early field goals, and I was like, look, field goals are not going to beat this team. But, you know, we sudden change, and we made some plays down the road, but if we could have easily been up 14-0. We could have easily been up 14-0. You know, you get down there, you kick a field goal, and then the turnover, and then you kick another field goal. We just got to clean that up.
That's the most interesting thing. It was 38-10. Mm-hmm. It could have been worse. Yeah. It could have been a lot worse for the Chargers. By the way, we mentioned Devin Lloyd. Michael, let's call an audible here. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a defensive player of the game. It is brought to you by our friends at Superior Fence and Rail, and let's do it right now. The Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game.
Jacksonville's building a fence along the goal line. This is the Superior Fence and Rail Defensive Player of the Game. Superior Fence and Rail, where quality matters.
You know, for years I've been jealous when Tennessee drafted Keith Bullock, and he was just their main guy for almost a decade. Indianapolis finds, I guess, Shaquille Leonard is his name now, formerly Darius Leonard, as these just stud linebackers. Why can't Jacksonville find anybody like that? It's three games. Sample size isn't great yet. But what I've seen so far, Devin Lloyd, dude's a beast, man. 7 tackles today, 3 passes defensed, and an interception. He is this week's defensive player of the game. Mm-hmm. I love me some Devin Lloyd.
I love his motor. I love his motor. I love his intensity. I love his sideline to sideline. And the scary thing about it is, he's going to get better. He's going to get better. Absolutely, he's going to get better.
Coach, what do you think of
instincts,
Devin Lloyd?
Instincts. Mm-hmm. He's got him. He's got him, and he's got athletic ability. Well, you put instincts with athletic ability, there's going to be plays made. He's had 2 interceptions in the last two games. This kid's got a chance to be really good, and as Leon said, he will get better.
It looks like money well spent on Aluikin, too. That guy tackles anything that moves. He led the team in tackles again today. That guy is a tackling machine. We're with you till 11 o'clock, Jacksonville. If you're on the phone lines, we'll get to you. Let's squeeze one more in. Cody's been on hold forever right now. Cody on the south side, you're on 1010XL. What's going on?
Yo, yo, yo. Hey, man, it's been a roller coaster of emotions this weekend. I'm a Hurricanes fan, so that kind of upset me a lot yesterday, but Jags made up for it today, man. So it's nice to see them playing good, clean football again. And, man, getting that thing done out in California, man. So, we're on cloud 9, bro.
Hey, Cody, appreciate it. Cloud 9. Leon, you want to talk about the Hurricanes at all? Or?
I'm in witness protection right now.
Hey, look, if you're a Gator fan, if you're a Hurricane fan, it was a rough Saturday. The Jaguars kind of bailed you out today with that performance. 38-10. Jacksonville over the Los Angeles Chargers. There are reports coming out from some of the media in L.A. I don't know what this means. Maybe nothing, but I'll throw it out there. Apparently the Charger locker room emptied quicker than any of the media has ever seen it out there in the 3 years they've been in L.A. I mean, what are you going to say after losing 38-10? There ain't a whole lot to say. If I'm one of their players, I'm getting out of Dodge too.
Yeah, I think they were embarrassed, to be perfectly honest with you, because everybody's been telling them that they're going to be the Super Bowl contenders. They lose last week, and then they come in this week, and it's a bomb. You know, that's what happens. You know, their coaching staff is going to have to reel them back in. You know, because it's game number 3. That doesn't mean that they're not going to go to the Super Bowl.
It's the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics. With Dave Campa, with Leon Searcy, the hacker Ryan Green with you. Jacksonville, we're glad you're with us. A victory Sunday night for the Jaguars. More of your phone calls next on the Fifth Quarter, 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yeah! Kick it!
Putting an extra 60 minutes on the clock. The Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Presented by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Bari and Bari Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Rolling right is Trevor, firing toward the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. Christian Kirk made the catch, and Jacksonville has scored again.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio, Trevor Lawrence to Christian Kirk. In fact, you know what we're going to do right now? We'll save special teams because we got to talk about the drive of the game. That play right there capped off a 14-play, 60-yard drive, 8 minutes and 27 seconds off the clock. Every week here on the Fifth Quarter, we do give you a drive of the game. It is brought to you by Tire Outlet. And, Michael, let's do it right now, the Tire Outlet drive of the game.
Now, the Tire Outlet drive of the game. Tire Outlet, wholesale prices, premium service.
Leon, it's 23-10. You go 14 plays, 60 yards, 8.5 minutes off the clock. You get the touchdown to Kirk. You get the two-pointer to Evan Engram. That was the ball game. I mean, if there was any chance for the Chargers to come back, that probably put an end to that right there. And again, how unbelievably satisfying. Now, 2 weeks in a row, you've had 14-plus play drives in back-to-back games.
Yeah, it boils down to just execution. I mean, my biggest concern of this team moving forward after the halftime was how were they going to execute, how were they going to keep the level of intensity up in the second half. And then you go in the second half and you do that against any team, and you're running plays and you're crisp, you're fundamentally sound, you're up and down the field, and they can't do anything about it. That could be demoralizing to any defense.
And I want to say, Coach Campo, that this is now back-to-back games. Well, of course, Indy, and they never scored in the entire game, but the Chargers scored all their points in the first half today, right? So this is back-to-back games that Mike Caldwell and that defense have gone into the halftime locker room and not allowed a single point. Second half last week against Indy, second half today against L.A.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that's big. You know, when you look at what happens in this league, I can put 1,000 of them up there where a team jumps out to a lead and it comes out in the second half and they make adjustments and all of a sudden they win the football game with the adjustments. Defensively, that drive after that drive offensively right there you're talking about, I wrote on my play sheet right here watching the game, what a drive. They just beat them down in that drive. And I think that was it. The game was over, number one, point-wise, but the game was over in their mind as well.
And do want to get factually correct, the Chargers got a field goal in the third, but they did not score a touchdown. So that's back-to-back games. The defense has not allowed a touchdown in the second half to Indy last week and no touchdowns today in the second half to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Jaguars did not have that problem. Is they put it in the end zone, what, four times, right? Marvin Jones touchdown, Zay Jones touchdown, Christian Kirk touchdown, Robinson. James Robinson touchdown. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible work. And you pointed it out, Leon, for the three wide receivers to all score shows how great the passing game was today.
Yeah, offense efficiency. All, when all three of your wide receivers score touchdowns and your running back scores touchdown, man, you're rolling on all cylinders. I mean, you can't – you could draft a perfect game plan, but that's as perfect as it gets, where your three major wide receivers all get touches, they all get touchdowns, and your running back scores as well.
Let's go to my neck of the woods, to Mandarin here on the Fifth Quarter. 641-1010 is the phone number. Let's get Travis in here on 1010XL. Travis, go ahead.
How you doing, fellas?
Travis, we're good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just one question. I've been following this team since the beginning, and I've watched Freddie T and Mojo. I feel like Travis is trying to get his feet right. Do you feel like we have another combo?
With James Robinson and Travis Etienne. Travis, appreciate the phone call. Leon, what about that? You've blocked for some great running backs. How do you feel about these two running backs here in Jacksonville?
I mean, It's just like styles are in fights. You know, they've got different styles. I mean, one's a bowling ball, you know, can run in between the tackles. The other one's a speedster that can get around the corners. He ran in between the tackles a couple of times during the game. But, yeah, you, in this league right now, the durability of running backs, I mean, they're not going to get, like back in my day, they're not going to get 30, 35 touches. They're going to split those things in half. You know, today I think, what, Robinson got what, maybe? How many touches
Robinson,
did he get?
Robinson, 17, ETN, 13.
Okay, so that about half and half. So that'll be our nice little 1-2 punch. They're going to be critical as we keep moving on.
You know, the thing about ETN, too, Coach, is that 75 yards today for him, 45 on the ground, 30 through the air, his most productive game as a Jaguar.
Well, I was just going to say that the thing that separates them a little bit is the fact that ETN, because of his skill set, he doesn't have to run the ball inside too much because his ability to accelerate will make some big plays happen. And catching the ball, he was 30 yards with three catches. So that's 10 yards a catch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good run game right there.
That's getting it done.
So he gets the ball in a number of different ways, probably more than Robinson. Robinson is going to get the bulk of the heavy work.
You know, and how much, Leon, have you and I sat here over the last couple of years on the fifth quarter, and even week one, quite frankly, this year, and the disparity, passing plays to running plays, is just ridiculous. 36 rushes today because you have the lead in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
26 passing or 28 passing attempts, and you look, you have 262 yards through the air, 151 yards on the ground. That is incredibly balanced for this offense.
And that's what you want. I mean, outside of week one, when we put ourselves in predicaments where we got into the little second and third and long situations, there was balance. There was no penalties. We were fluent. Trevor was fast and flowing with the ball, and the running backs were getting out in space, and Robinson in between the tackles and the one break for the fourth down and one for the touchdown. Offensive line was blocking real well. You want to have that nice little balance. That's what keeps you in game.
And actually, it's even better than I thought.
Yeah, I was
passing attempts,
say.
Right. 39 mm-hmm. passing yeah. attempts, mm-hmm. 36 rushing attempts. It's hard to get much more balanced than that.
And that's two games in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the way it was last week. It was like 30 and 31 or something like that. I forget what it was, but it was the balance is important. You have to run the ball regardless of whether or not you're being really successful with it or not. The thing that gives us a chance is if you don't run the ball that successfully on first down, he has that quick passing game can get you into third and manageable, you know, inside that third and five. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. If they get stopped on the first down run, throw it quick out, quick hitch, get the ball out. And then third down, you make a play.
Well, what's funny is we're going through like a transformation as a media and as a fan base. Even in 17 with Blake, certainly every time since then, you get a penalty to make it first and 20 or you get sacked or whatever, the drive's over. That's not the case anymore. Remember last week, first and 20, what do they do? Hit Christian Kirk for 26 yards. I remember there was a second and 15 today. You're thinking, oh, great. And what do? They convert and get a first down. It's like, we haven't seen that in many, many years here. A penalty would end drives. Now with Doug Peterson and the skill players that they have, that is not the case. Let's go to Los Angeles. Let's get Justin in here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Justin out in L.A., man. How are you?
Duval!
Yeah.
Were you at the game today?
Yeah, I was at the game today, man. Hey, shout out to Doug Peterson for breaking that curse. It was wonderful to see. I've been out here on the West Coast and seen Jacksonville play a couple times, and it looked bad to see them just on all facets, man. I'm here to say everything good about Jacksonville on the line, man. I've seen it live. It was amazing to see, man. Shout out to the front office for giving Trevor some of those pieces. The guys to get open today, man, those guys are just, you know, Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, amazing, Christian Kirk. Even Evan Engram, he almost had a touchdown in the end zone. I would say that was a touchdown.
Yeah, well, let me correct you. He did have a touchdown.
Were in there, they just didn't call it.
Right.
Man, on all facets, Jacksonville just did amazing, man. They did good. The defense looked stout. Our offense was pumping. Man, I'm just here to say everything was good today. I'm blessed to see them get a win over here on the West Coast to break the curse. Jesus, that was just something that was just was. It was time. It was time. Doug Peterson is just different. To see him be aggressive today on offense, just to go for it on fourth down. Forget it, you know. What do we have to lose? They thought we were going to put our heads down and run. We saw Justin Herbert was playing today. No, sir. That was not the case. We came out there and smashed their mouth.
Hey, Justin's fired up. Leon, I want to get the playing perspective from coach to coaching perspective really quick. The fourth downs. That is becoming more of a topic. Doug Peterson, he likes to go for it on fourth down. As a guy on that offense, I'm sure you appreciate that your coach believes in you, that you can get him on fourth down.
Every lineman wants to go for it on fourth down to one. Everyone. And, you know, that's just the coaching staff having faith that you can get the job done up front. So, I mean, that's all about morale. He's saying, hey, listen, I believe in you guys. We're going to get it done. We're not settling for field goals. We're going to try to score and win.
Admittedly, Coach, the analytics were not a thing when you were a head coach of Dallas, but that appears to be more and more in play here. What's your thought on Doug Peterson throwing caution to the wind a lot and going for it on these fourth downs?
I think it's fantastic, and I really think it's based more than just on analytics. You know, he's made the comment before. He said, you know, I like the analytics, and I read them, and there's a lot to it, but there comes a time you just got to make a gut call. If you feel like you've got a play dialed up and it's fourth down and two or three or four, that's manageable. And if you feel like you've got a play dialed up, go for it. You know, as long as you're in the plus territory. You know, Staley made one last year that probably on a bad year would have got him fired, you know, when he went for it on the 20-yard line or something.
But it's like Peterson went for it today on fourth and six on the opening drive.
Yeah, I mean, that's still manageable to me. If it's around the five or six range. To me, though, it also is partly – if you go into a ball game and you feel like this other team you're playing can score points and you need points, you know, you sometimes you got to make that decision to go ahead and go for it. We need to generate points here. We can't keep punting here.
Well, you know what they say. They said on the broadcast, the TV broadcast. They said sometimes he just looks in the player's face. He gets a feel for if the players feel good about running the play. And he says if he feels that the players feel good about it, then he'll go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, he does it a lot. And most of the time, actually, they have worked. Did not work on the opening drive, but it did not cost them. The defense immediately got a three and out and got the offense the ball back. With Dave Campa, with Leon Searcy, the Hacker, Ryan Green with you. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We're at halftime here on the fifth quarter, the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter. As always, we are brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics. Charles, Jeremy, Schroeder, all you guys, hang in there. You'll be up on the other side. Jacksonville 38, Los Angeles 10. More to do here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Bringing you an extra quarter of football.
The Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Presented by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Dropping is Trevor. Looking. Fires corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown in the back of the end zone. How in the world did Marvin Jones Jr. come down with that thing? With Michael Davis draped all over him. Touchdown, Jaguars.
Frank Frangie on the call. Jaguars radio here on 1010XL. Leon, I was telling Coach Campo earlier, I love when the former players are in the TV booth. Adam Archuleta was today on the TV broadcast. When Trevor hit Marvin Jones for that touchdown, you can tell when former players are like, oh my gosh. Archuleta had one of those moments. Like, wow, what a throw by Trevor Lawrence. His last one of the day. Might have been his best one of the day to Marvin Jones.
It was a hell of a catch and a hell of a throw.
Yeah.
I don't know how he came down with it. Like Frangie said, he had a guy draped all over him. And for him to tap that toe and get that knee in the back of the end zone like that was phenomenal. Phenomenal catch and throw.
Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a special teams player of the game. That special teams player of the game is brought to you by the McKeever Clinic. Let's do it right now. The McKeever Clinic special teams player of the game.
Now, the special teams player of the game.
We be special.
Brought to you by the urological specialist of McKeever Clinic.
You know, 3 weeks ago, the Jaguars did not have a kicker. And then they signed this guy, Riley Patterson, right? Who got released from Detroit, of all places. And all Riley Patterson has done is come in. He was perfect last week, perfect this week, 3 for 3 on field goals, 3 for 3 on extra points. Again, if Riley Patterson walks the streets of Jacksonville, I don't think anybody would have any idea he plays for the Jaguars. The guy's been here less than 21 days, but he's making all his kicks. The second week in a row, he was perfect, and he is this week's special teams player of the game. That's always big, Coach. You know, you can rely on your kicker like that.
Well, there's no question, and you know, if you're a great football team, then the kicking game might not be as important it is as when you're trying to be a great football team. You know, I knew that the kicking situation was shaky when the guy hit me with the ball in the head over
right.
a practice.
That's where it all started going drastically downhill.
That's when it went into the start looking for guys.
When Campo got drilled at training camp. That's exactly right. So it's come full circle now with Riley Patterson.
Yeah, absolutely. But they need the kicker. Games are going to be close. And the one thing I know about this team is that most of the games they play this year are going to be close. And if that's the case, you need the 3 points.
Leon, your assessment on Trayvon Walker. We've talked a lot about Devin Lloyd. We've talked a lot about, obviously, Trevor and Christian Kirk and James Robinson, Travis Etienne. What about the number one pick in the draft? Maybe his stat line won't be great today, 2 tackles. But again, I thought he was that word again. He was disruptive. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, his stats. I mean, listen, I'm an offensive lineman. I think sacks are overrated anyway, so I'm just being biased.
Yeah.
But he's a force, though. That's what you want. When you draft a kid number one overall, you want him to be a force. You want him to be disruptive. Hell, I saw him drop off in coverage and knock a ball down. I mean, that just shows you his versatility and his athleticism, where he can drop in coverage and make a play. Yeah, listen, we talked about Devin Lloyd going to get it better. I mean, this kid's going to get better. I mean, he's still a little straight up and down for me, but he right now, all he has is like the bull rush. You know, he uses his power on people. He's going to get it. He's going to give you the double move, eventually the chop spin, the one arm, as he grows and he's progressed. You got to remember, this kid is a rookie, but by midpoint of the season, he's going to start to get it, and he's going to be phenomenal.
And, Coach, I think you said it earlier, Josh Allen today didn't get credited with a sack, but man, he was in the backfield an awful lot. He made Herbert throw it before he wanted to a few times. He was an eyelash away from actually sacking Herbert on that play Herbert made downfield, their best play of the game.
Right.
Josh Allen, again, didn't record a sack, but no question he had an impact on today's game as well.
Yeah, and there's no question that having Walker on the other side helps him, because that allows him to move around. You know, sometimes Walker's on the left and he's on the right. Sometimes it's the other way around. And Josh Allen has a lot of ability, a lot of quickness. You know, he's a playmaker. The one thing Walker gives you is they're not going to run the ball over his way. I tell you that right now. And if he comes inside, he's going to get pushed into the quarterback. So the rest will come, like Leon said. But Josh Allen, that gives us 2 pretty good edge guys.
641-1010 is the phone number. Phone lines absolutely loaded. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to the phone lines right now. To the north side we go. Let's get Charles in here on 1010XL. Charles, go ahead.
Look, this was Justin. This was Derwin. This was John Everett. This was all their dogs. These are dogs. And we walked downtown 38-10. If I had nothing, but Duval, for Jags fans, y'all are tripping. Let's go!
That man is fired up.
Leon, yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
Fans deserve it, man. They deserve it. And look, okay, CBS, the television broadcast, I get it. You know, Greg Gumbel and Archuleta are talking about, well, this ain't the real Chargers, and, you know, they're going to be just fine. Look, Rashawn Slater and Joey Bosa and Kenneth Murray and all those guys, they started the game. They didn't finish the game because the Jaguars were physically whooping them, all right? Now, Herbert played. whether he was hurt or not, he played. He made a hell of a throw. He obviously was good enough to play that they put him out there. They were without Keenan Allen. They were without J.C. Jackson and Corey Linsley. The Jaguars were without Shaq Griffin. He and J.C. Jackson kind of, you know, measure each other out. So the Chargers were out there basically with everybody except Keenan Allen on offense, and they could do very, very little.
You know what? I was getting pedoed about that too, Hack, because it seemed like they were trying to water down our victory. Because all they were talking about was Herbert, his ribs, and he was in his mobile. And they were saying, you know, how courageous he was for going out there. Listen, there's a rule in the NFL. When you come in between those hashes and you put that uniform on, that means you're full speed. Yeah. And I don't want to hear this about no ribs and aching body. When you step in between those lines, you full go. And I just felt that they were trying to make excuses for the fact that the Jaguars were winning when we were just whooping that tail for 60 minutes.
Well, that goes to the whole Jacksonville-LA thing. LA's the better story. So CBS probably thought they were going to talk a lot about Herbert not getting his can kicked, but probably, you know, doing well with the injury. So that's filling time is what they had to do.
Well, I can tell you this. If Herbert had won with the ribs, oh, they would have made it into a damn Disney film.
It would have
been
Willis Reed 2.0.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, Coach, did you notice that and listen?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And guess what? You know, I'm a three-time Super Bowl winner. One of the Super Bowls that we won, we played seven backup quarterbacks. And nobody remembers that. They only remember that we won a Super Bowl. So, we kicked their tail today, and it wasn't about Herbert's injury, believe me.
Were you surprised that Staley, the head coach of the Chargers, had Herbert in the game 38-10 with 4 minutes to go?
Well, you know, we talked about that a little bit off air. The one thing about I know about the NFL is guys don't like to come out. It really doesn't, you know, they don't want to, you know, they want to be on the field at all times. And it doesn't matter whether you're up a lot or not. They don't want, listen, they've got incentives in their contract, right, Leon? Mm-hmm. They got a pride factor that they want to be in there. It's hard to take them out.
Yeah, players don't like to be shelved when they're losing because that would implicate that he was above the loss. That's the reason why he probably didn't want to come out because to save face for the guys that were around him. Because if you shelve him, and it makes it look like it's y'all fault. You know, he was hurt. That's why most quarterbacks and most players like to stay in the game, whether it's enduring the loss or celebrating the victory.
It's interesting because I love the perspective you guys have. Obviously, a former head coach, a former Pro Bowler. Me as a guy that was drinking soda and eating chicken wings on the couch, I'm watching this game. If Herbert would have gotten hurt in the final 4 minutes, down 28, Staley would have been annihilated. By the fan base, by the annihilated. The guy's hurt anyway. You're getting bludgeoned to death with 4 minutes to go. There's no chance you're going to win this game. What is your franchise guy doing out there? Whether he wants to play or not, that's not his decision. You're the head coach. You make the call.
Yeah, sometimes you got to save a player from himself. But 9 times out of 10, a player don't want to come out.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, you know, when you're talking about a in the NFL, you ask guys, are you ready to go? And you expect the guy to say to you, I'm ready to go. You know, even though it might look to some that the guy's not able to play or whatever, they go out and work out. If they say, I'm ready to go, that's it. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a mentality. They don't want to come out. And you trust your guys in the NFL more so than on the college level.
Let's go to Middleburg here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Let's get Jeremy. Jeremy, you're on the fifth quarter. What's going on?
So you're talking about franchise quarterbacks. Obviously, you have one with Trevor. But with James Robinson and ETN having debilitating injuries last year, do you not see them just getting stronger and then just making Trevor have a better year? I mean, James Robinson, who's been the best player in the Jaguars for the last 2.5 seasons, had his best run ever with that 50-yard scamper.
And he was pulling away from their players too, which you don't normally see James Robinson do. Good player, not the fastest running back in the league, but on that play, I agree with you, Jeremy. He was really doing well. And that's an interesting thought about ETN too, getting further removed from the Liz Frank injury. He had his best game today in week number three.
I mean, both. I mean, we never saw Etienne as a rookie, and Robinson tears an Achilles, and we all know what the Urban Meyer year was. You know, the best player in the field, you don't put on the field. Thank you. So it's just great to see that, but it was kind of disheartening to see a couple of those third and ones and second and shorts that James didn't make. But I agree with Leon. The offensive line is making strides. You know, I listen to the morning show. Baselli raves about the guys, but he'll tear them down when they're not doing what they need to do. But
Jeremy, appreciate the phone call. Certainly get the gist of it. We do need to talk about that, though, but that has been a problem a couple of weeks in a row now on third and one, second and short, third and inches. They're not getting a lot of push, at least in those situations. And again, we're kind of nitpicking here. They won by 28 on the road, but that is something that is happening more frequently than you would like.
You got basically two rookies at center and left guard. And where they're having the problems, Leon, and you could speak to it more than I can, where they're having the problems is when they're going straight ahead. When they're not pulling and using their athletic ability and down blocking and getting some extra guys to the point of attack, they're doing really well. But when it's just a all out, you know, take on a guy, push, they had trouble last week with the two guys, the two tackles.
Yeah.
So that's an issue, and Leon can speak to that more than I
can. What about Fortner and Barch, Leon? How are they doing?
That one coach is absolutely right. You're essentially playing with two rookies right in there. And what the problem is, like Coach is saying, they're not maulers. They're athletic linemen that you've got to pull out in space. And it's going to come to a point in time where you're just going to have to, you're going to have to let some stuff drop and play some ball.
How about that?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
10-20,
you know what I'm saying? You just
that was have, very diplomatic.
I'm just saying, Coach, at some particular point, you just going to have to put on your big boy pants and line up and knock somebody off the ball, because you never know where it might be a critical or a pivotal point in the game where you got to get that first down, where you got to get that yard. I mean, you can't make any excuses for it, because we're not getting the necessary push that we need to get winning crucial moments. Right now it hasn't been crucial moments because we've been blowing out everybody. But somewhere down the road, you're going to have to man up, buckle up your chin strap, and you have to come off the ball and move somebody.
With Leon Searcy, with Dave Campo, the Hacker Ryan Green with you, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics. If you're on the line, we will get to you. We're with you till 11 o'clock, Jacksonville. By the way, real defensive battle going on Sunday Night Football right now. San Francisco, a 7-5 lead on the Denver Broncos in the third quarter. We will keep you updated. More of your phone calls. We'll give you a play of the game as well. Glad you're with us on a victory Sunday night in Duval County. It is the fifth quarter on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill, presented by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics on 1010XL.
The give is to James Robinson. He's got it in more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown on fourth down. James Robinson broke loose for the score.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio, every week here on the fifth quarter. We do give you a play of the game. That play of the game is brought to you by Performance Painting. And Michael, let's do it right now. The Performance Painting play of the game.
Now, the Performance Painting High Performance play of the game. Performance Painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
You know, Leon, we talked about James Robinson, and the caller last segment brought up a good point. They're getting, he and Etienne both, getting further removed from the injuries, right? Robinson, the Achilles, Etienne, the Liz Frank. We're only three games into their seasons. As they get further removed from those injuries, one would think more confidence, more mental stability, not thinking about it as much anymore, and maybe more production on the field.
Well, they're getting their sea legs back, all right? I mean, both of these guys missed so much football last year. and they had to go through training and rehab and all this kind of stuff. So this is the first real contact they get. So like, we keep the more confident you get, the hardest thing for any football player to deal with is in between your head. You know, getting the fact that you, knowing that you're healed and just going out there and playing ball. So it's good to see both of them have success.
All right, Coach, see what I'm doing right now? That's me knocking on wood before I say this. Big time knocking on wood. Every guy that got hurt today seemed to be a Los Angeles Charger. The Jaguars, now they were without Shaq Griffin, which I think that happened in practice, which is kind of weird. But aside from Shaq Griffin today, he's the only guy that showed up on the injury report in the last 2 weeks. They have been amazingly healthy three games into the year. And hope that continues. Can you put your finger on it as to why? I mean, I guess that's just good fortune.
You know, and it is, I think. I mean, you know, an injury can happen at any time. I'm knocking on wood, too, because, you know, going into the first two ball games, I'd never seen a second ball game where there wasn't anybody on the injury report.
Right.
And it was almost a third. You know,
it
this
was
week.
On Wednesday. Yeah, and then Shaq, I guess,
exactly.
got hurt on Thursday.
You know, again, I think our obviously the way that Etienne and Robinson came back from their injuries, they're doing something over there with the doctors and the trainers, you know, and obviously they've done a good job of conditioning in the offseason because that's how you avoid the majority of injuries.
It's been a good start, Leon, on the injury front, no question about that.
Yeah, I agree with Coach, you know. Back in my day, if you got injured or got hurt, it was because you weren't well conditioned. Coach said it right. Those guys seem to be taken care of real well by the training staff, nutritionists, and the conditioning coach because your body, it takes a banging during the season. And the key, it's good to be a little lucky too. It's good to be a little lucky because just like you said, the last couple of games that have nobody on the injury list, moving forward, if you can keep doing that, you're going to win a lot more ball games than you lose if you got a healthy roster in front of you.
And again, the parallels to 2017, it's very early this year, but one of them that you're starting to see, remember how healthy they were in 2017?
Mm-hmm.
I think Telvin Smith was literally the only defensive starter that missed a game that year. He missed one game when they got a concussion, and that was it. Every other defensive starter played every game in 2017. It was crazy how healthy they were that year. 641-1010. Is the phone number. If you're on the phone line, we will get to you. We're with you for about another 25 minutes or so. To the south side we go. Let's get Schroeder up here on 1010 XL and the fifth quarter. Schroeder, go ahead.
Yeah, two things. One, how come the Chargers touchdown was not reviewed because the second foot did not come down in bounds? And then also, why was Ingram's touchdown reviewed? And then the second question is, how come we don't do quarterback sneaks except that one time? There were several times when we had less than 1 yard or just a yard to go, and they're back in the shotgun. You can't do that.
Sure, appreciate the phone call. Coach Campo, that's one for you. The lack of quarterback sneaks with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, first of all, you know, anything can happen on a quarterback sneak. And you saw it last year. Everybody got upset with when they said that Trevor didn't have quarterback sneak in the deal.
I've tried to block that out.
Yeah, well, you block it out. But, you know, I've seen a lot of mishaps in that as well. Bad snap, guy trying to stick the ball over the, you know, for the first down, ball slapped out of his hands. So it's not a guarantee, okay? The reason they went for it on the one that they did this week was because it was only inches. If it's a yard or so, if that defense gets push and that guy can't get up off the ground, you might not make it. And obviously they, on the fourth and one, what did they do? They didn't run a quarterback sneak. They ran a power play for a touchdown, 50 yards.
Later.
So, you know, it really comes down to what you feel is the best for that particular situation.
And, Leon, I thought Mike Williams, to give him credit, I thought he made a play. I thought both feet were in. It was called a touchdown on the field. I don't think you could have overturned it based on video. But I felt the same way about Evan Ingram. That was called a touchdown on the field, and they overturned it, which I thought was a bad call. But, again, I mean, 38-10, and it could have been worse. They Jaguars probably got robbed of a touchdown there with Evan Engram.
I mean, just like in week one, I mean, although we did win by, 38-10, 28 points, the offensive coordinator is going to still pinpoint opportunities that were lost out there in the field. That's his job. I mean, as flawless as a game we look at and see and say, hey, the Jaguars played outstanding, it's the coordinator's job to let you know, hey, listen, these are opportunities that we missed. And you make an emphasis on them, and you talk about them in practice, you work on them in practice, and then you see what happens the next week. You don't. First of all, you never let the team get comfortable. You always want to keep them on the edge. You want to celebrate the victory. You want to watch the film. Then you want to watch the film with them, and then you want to critique them on stuff that they could have done a little better.
Let's go to Mandarin, my neck of the woods. Let's get Travis in here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Travis, what do you got?
Hey, fellas. Thank you for taking my second call today. Just wondering, I feel like this D is a little younger and better than 2017. What do you think? And I'll take my questions off the call.
Travis, appreciate it. Coach, what about that? You're a defensive guy. This defense, now the 2017 defense had Calais Campbell, had Barry Church, Telvin Smith, Jalen Ramsey, Anik Ngakoue. I mean, maybe some more star power on that defense. A.J. Boye as well, we almost tend to forget about him. And again, so early to really compare the two, but the things I'm noticing, the physicality, the tough defensive line, and the playmaking ability to cause turnovers does sort of remind you of that 2017 team.
Well, Hack, I wasn't here in 2017, so I didn't see that defense as much as the caller did, obviously, and you. I will say this, though, and it kind of goes along with the comments that were just made. If you've got a young defense that can run, first of all, a young guy is not going to get injured as easily as an old guy is going to get injured. So if they stay healthy, this group that may not have a bunch of star power, but it's kind of like those seven receivers that caught balls today. You win based on a team effort. If you don't have a guy that's just a pure number one at whatever position he's at, then everybody has to come together. And the one thing I'm seeing from this defense is that they're making good calls and the guys are executing. They're running to the football. They're physical up front. No question about that. And the addition of Walker goes along with those guys in the run game for sure. And I see guys that are really flying to the football. And that's the turnover situation is completely different than a year ago.
Oh, my gosh. What, yeah. They forced 9 turnovers last year. What are they forced, like 6 or 7 already this year? Absolutely insane. Leon, you see any similarities, this defense compared to 2017?
Well, I mean, listen, they're trending in the right direction. They're doing all the things that Coach just talked about. They're relentless. They're consistent on their pass rush. You know, they're solid with their lanes. They got that 3-man game where Smoop got around. They got the sack and the fumble. So you're seeing different variations of what we saw in 2007. You got, I'm not sure we got lockdown corners yet because, you know, you had Ramsey and you had Boye over there. But you're getting pushed in the middle. You got edge rushers on the side. You got linebacker play that's continually to get better. So yeah, they're trending in the right way, right direction. If they could just keep it up, hold each other accountable, and play with the same enthusiasm and love to get after the passer, yeah, they're gonna be fine.
And they also have a little depth on this group.
Yeah,
you know, just Herndon playing today for Shaq Griffin.
Herndon played very well.
Did you hear his name mentioned?
No, not.
Then
very
he
well.
Had a hell of a game. Yeah. I could tell you that right now. If you're playing corner and nobody's mentioning your name, you're in great shape.
Herndon made one play on like a 3rd and 2 where Austin Eckler tried to sweep around the very end of the line there.
Yeah.
And he used the out of bounds to his advantage, got him out, kept him short of the first down. It was a very good play by Trey Herndon.
Well, they've got guys like Key and guys that can come off the bench. Muma hasn't had that opportunity, but I guarantee you if Muma was playing in this game, he'd be making plays too.
You know, that's the kind of guy. You have Muma and Wingard on special teams coverage.
Absolutely.
That's the depth on this team.
Yep.
You know, say what you will about Andrew Wingard. I'm a lot higher on him than a lot of other people. He started a lot of games for this football team, And now he's one of your main aces on special teams because you have so much depth. Savannah Jag's been on hold forever. Let's get him in before we step aside. We'll also get to Albert before we check out of here tonight. Savannah Jag, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on, man?
Yeah, well, I'm just touching in, so I don't know if anybody had mentioned it yet, but I was thinking that, you know, how to try to desensitize how strong the team is and talk about the Colts and how the Colts aren't a good football team. Well, you know, they beat the Chiefs today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of negates that. And so the second thing I want to say was that, you know, I just want the team to stay strong because they'll have teams when they get further, they make the playoffs, that they'll have to beat the refs and the team because, you know, I don't know what to call it, but once some of these refs, they want the teams to that they want to beat. We dealt with that with 2017. We know that in the championship game. You know, 22 penalties to one. So the thing about it is that I just want them to stay strong and, you know, be prepared to go through the red tape of the refs or whatever and still try to win these football games. I think they got what it takes to do it.
Hey, Savannah Jag, appreciate the phone call. Jags against the world, guys. Refs are against us. Everybody's against us. And, yeah, hey, the AFC Championship game, you've heard me say it many times, Leon. Cleet Blakeman and that officiating crew. They went up and personally congratulated Tom Brady right after the game was over. It was just an odd look, right? When you're the referee, don't go give the winning quarterback kind of a high five literally as the game ends. I could have done without that.
Yeah. You sure there was no money exchange?
I don't know if there was money exchange or not, but he had his tongue in Tom Brady's ear, it looked like, at the end of that game. Pretty ridiculous. Albert in Tuscaloosa, you'll be our final caller of the night if you hang on with Leon Searcy, with Dave Campo. The Hacker Ryan Green with you. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, as always, we are brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics. So what? Now what? Let's take that philosophy here on the fifth quarter and let's begin to talk about the Philadelphia game next Sunday. That's next. The fifth quarter rolls on. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. Live from Perfect Rack Billiards in Murray Hill. Presented by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics on 1010XL.
Final segment here on the fifth quarter. Thank you guys for staying up late with us tonight. Listen to this. A lot of cool little stats are coming out about the last 2 weeks for the Jaguars. The only other time in the history of the Jaguars they won back-to-back games by 24 points or more was in the 2000 season. One of those games was against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns' backup quarterback in the year 2000 was Doug Peterson. How about that? That's kind of cool. And Doug Peterson, now the head coach 22 years later, the Jaguars, a 24-point win over Indianapolis last week and a 28-point win over the Chargers this week. Let's get one final call in here, and then we're going to make a turn to Philadelphia next Sunday, 1 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field. Albert in Tuscaloosa, you are our final call of the evening. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. First of all, thank you guys for taking my call. Mr. Searcy, Hacker, Coach, it's an honor as always. And, you know, going back to the call you guys had before me, that ref might have had his tongue inside Tom Brady's ear, but his lips were somewhere else on Tom Brady. Anyways, how refreshing was it for you guys to actually, every game there's always one player of the game, but it was so refreshing to see the coaches be the player of the game this week. There was not only was we didn't have any, hardly, I think, two penalties, but at the same time, like, we were out calling them. We were countering everything. A lot of that was because, you know, we made it one-dimensional after we took such a strong lead towards the end of the game. But still, it just felt like our coaches, man, like, if there was any way to make them player of the game, I think they should have been it, because we were firing on all cylinders and just decimating the Chargers, which, again, I don't like. Also, how you guys were talking about how a lot of that was about Justin Herbert, the quarterback for the Chargers, being hurt more so than how good of a job we did, which, you know, sucks.
Albert, appreciate the phone call. He is right. I mean, it just goes to show you, Coach, what you guys do cannot be taken for granted. You have a good coach that overcomes a lot of ills maybe on the roster, and clearly the Jaguars have a very good coach in Doug Peterson.
You know, you can usually tell how well the coach is doing based on the numbers of bad plays that are made as opposed to good plays. And especially you're talking about the penalties, those kind of things, as the caller just mentioned. You know, it just seems like in the last two ball games that right when you need a play, the right play's called.
Mm-hmm.
For example, today there were two or three screens that were beautiful calls at the right time. And I think those are the kind of things that shows that this coaching staff knows what it's doing. Plus, the quarterback's getting better each week. And that's what has to happen. If the coaches are doing the job with him, this is going to be a very good season.
All right, Leon, the so what, now what mentality Doug Peterson's put in here. 24-hour rule, whatever you want to call it. They're going to land back from Los Angeles in 4 or 5 hours, whatever. I'm sure they've enjoyed the plane ride or in the process of enjoying the plane ride. You got a big game next week. Doug Peterson returns to Philadelphia. They're undefeated. A quick thought from you on the Eagles next week.
Well, I mean, the Eagles are going to be a formidable opponent. I think that the issues that we had with the short yardage situation is going to have to be addressed before we play. When you got Fletcher Cox and you got Jordan Davis inside the middle, they're gonna be tough to move. And then, as far as Coach talked about this off the air, he said that it was a couple of times in the game where we lost contained. You can't lose contained against a guy like Jalen Hurts. I mean, he can beat you with his legs. So I mean, this is going to be a challenge. But like I said last time, when we talked about the Chargers, we got to look at this team as they're in the way. They are in the way to what we want to do, what we want to accomplish. And next team up, next man up, do what you got to do to win.
And we've had September Searcy. Unfortunately, this game falls in the month of October next Sunday.
I'll come up with a name.
I mean, but no, you're the positive guy, man.
Absolutely.
You are the positivity here. You like, you got to like where the Jaguars are 3 games in.
Absolutely. Three games in, and three out of those 4 games are on the road, and you're 2-1 right now with the opportunity to go 3-1. I take it all day.
Coach, it's been a great start to the year. No question about
Absolutely.
That.
And let me just leave you with one thing. That so what, now what came from a motivational guy by the name of Kevin Elko. And Kevin Elko was our motivational guy with the Dallas Cowboys during the day.
Oh, wow.
So the great thing about that is that just shows how far Doug Peterson is going back to make sure this team is motivated.
That is our head coach, Dave Campo. Coach, appreciate you staying up late with us. You'll get Coach on the podcast you do with Joe Cowart, 1010XL.com, XL Primetime on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you'll be with me tomorrow night on Hacker After Dark. Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome. It's great. Great win.
Leon Searcy, we'll get you on XL Primetime all week. I'll have you on Hacker After Dark, Wednesday or Thursday this upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
And just a final thought from you on 38-10 win today over the Chargers.
It was a great win. It was another beat down. It was refreshing to see. I mean, we don't get these kind of wins in Jacksonville too often, so I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to use my 24 hours too, Hack. 24 hours, I'm going to celebrate. Then I'm going to be back in the business.
We're going to McDonald's right now.
That's right.
For Leon Searcy, for the head coach, Dave Campo, I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Michael Phillips was your producer tonight. This has been the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we've been brought to you by Eastern Roofing Company and Dr. George Barry and Barry Orthopedics. 38-10, Jacksonville over Los Angeles. The Jaguars 2-1 and in sole possession of first place right now in the AFC South. Jeff Prosser will be in this studio at 6 a.m. and we will kick off a 16-hour local programming on a Victory Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Until 6 a.m., good night, everybody.